right. We're going to begin our ordination time, and we'll ask all our ordained men to come on and take your place in the choir loft. If you're an ordained man and you'd like to take place on the council, we've invited many of you, and some of you are, thank you for our outside visitors that have come to be a part of this. We'll let them come and make their way. We are going to begin the ordination service tonight, and what I'd like to do is ask Dr. James Vercellis, if you'll step up to the microphone here and pray to start our ordination service, and then we'll have our two candidates and their families, their wives, come and sit down on the front row after the prayer, okay?
Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we love you so much. We thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and your grace to us, and we thank you, Lord God, for the calling that you have on our lives, Father. We particularly come to you with the calling that you would have on these two men. Father God, as we confirm them for you, for your honor and your glory, for your service, Father God, Lord, may they know that it's not we that we confirm them, Father, but it's you. And Lord, may they serve you with their whole heart. And we pray for this service, for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
As these two families come and they bring their wives and seated again tonight, we just want to remind the church that this is an ordination service for our church, and it's been a while since we've done this inside our church building, but I want to remind you as a church that it's the church that ordains these two men. It is, again, we have an ordination council of men that will sign this certificate, but is in the name of the Landmark Baptist Church that we send these men out and ordain them for the gospel ministry. And so again, as much as we have an ordination council and these men who are trained and are ordained will ask questions tonight, it is you as well tonight as we go to prayer time. It is also you that are confirming these men. It is also our church that is praying. We are going to pray collectively for these men and send them out. Amen. And so, Brother Jesse and Brother Dave, if you would take your places here in the seats and pick up your microphones. We have asked many questions, and so let me prelude. We will try to be brief tonight. We do want these men that are in our ordination council to ask some questions. And but again, these two men, very bright, very witty young men. But again, if you stood on trial to know everything in the Bible, you know that you sometimes would, with a question, you would get a deer in the headlight look too, okay? And so we will help them tonight. We are not trying to. We have several. I did not bring those documents out, but for our church record, we have given them about a 20-page questionnaire to them to answer so that we could check, and we know that they believe the way the Landmark Baptist Church believes and follow our doctrine. So we have already done that tonight. These are things just for our men on our council to confirm some of these men. All right, and so we would ask, if you have a question in the ordination council, we'd ask you men to step up to the mic and to ask your question, and I will tell you who we're going to pose the question to, okay? As you come up, all right? And then one of you men, we're going to trade back and forth, and then we'll ask the other two confirm, okay? Who would like to be first in our ordination council tonight? Thank you, my brother.
All right, I'd like to ask you, what is your position on separation of church and state?
Brother Jesse, you mind taking that one first?
Sure. I believe that the Bible is pretty clear. In the book of Acts, the Roman government had asked Peter to stop preaching Jesus Christ to the masses, and Peter responded with, "We ought to obey God rather than man." And so there is a distinction between God's laws and man's laws, and the state has no authority over the church, as far as our faith and our practice goes.
Wow, that was a powerful answer. Amen. Would you agree with that, my brother?
I would.
Does that satisfy you, brother? Brother Larson, that satisfies the question. Thank you, sir. Do we have anybody else that would like to ask a question tonight? Thank you, brother.
Do you gentlemen believe that the 1611 King James Bible is the only inspired Bible inspired by God?
Amen. You'd like to take that, my brother?
Absolutely. It's made clear to us in both in 2 Timothy and in Psalms 12 that God promises not only to inspire his word, but to preserve it to every generation. And I wholeheartedly would agree that in the English-speaking world, that the King James is God's inspired word preserved for us.
And I'll add to that, because you're going to be on the mission field again, you're going to try to use to your best of your knowledge and ability that you're going to use as close to the King James, the word of God. That
absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
So, again, I appreciate that. Satisfy your question.
You go next.
Yeah, I'll go next.
Amen.
Let me ask you this. What place does the local church, it's kind of a two-part question, what place does the local church play in Scripture, and then also what place will the local church play in your own ministries?
Brother Jesse.
Could I ask for some clarification on that?
Obviously, today there's a lot of false doctrine out there regarding the local church and their role in Scripture, regarding the Old and the New Testament specifically. And then also with that as well, as far as first part, the second part, what is the role of the local church in your specific ministry, obviously with you being here or with Brother David as being sent out as a missionary?
So the way we'd love for you to answer it is, again, who do you believe started the local church? Where did it begin? And where are you going to stick with the local church?
Okay. The church is a local called out assembly of baptized believers. It was started by the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry and not during Acts chapter 2. I would think that would be kind of along the line of questioning there. And yes, I do intend to stay with the local called out assembly of baptized believers here.
Amen. And again, as we will add, if you'd like to add anything, as someone who's going outside again under the church authority, is there anything you'd like to add to?
Absolutely. It's my conviction that the church is the vehicle that God has chosen to work his will and way to fulfill the Great Commission in this age. And while we're grateful for the aid of parachurch organizations, God's blessings and his promises are for the local church.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Anyone else that would like to ask a question? Thank you, brother. You can come this way if you like.
Dispensationally, do you believe that the rapture of the church will take place soon? And if so, how would you extend a sense of urgency to a congregational group?
Okay. So we'd like for you to answer somewhere around that. I won't preface the question, but brother, if you would answer that, and again, what we talked about earlier as far as premillennial.
Absolutely. And the Bible makes it very clear, I believe, and both in 1 Thessalonians 4 and then in 1 Corinthians 15, that the rapture, what we as the church refer to as the rapture, God coming for his saints, will take place before the 7 years of the Great Tribulation and before the 1,000-year millennial reign. As to the urgency that it places upon our congregation, I think the answer is self-evident in the question. If God is returning, we have so very little time, and we'll be held accountable for how we use that time. And I think all that is necessary, all that should be necessary, rather, to place urgency in a congregation is simply a belief of the truth. If we believe that he's coming again, that should affect our behavior.
Amen. And so, again, for our church's sake and for the ordination council, I've already read your answers on the paper. And so, would you both men say that you are pre-tribulation?
Yes.
Yes.
And premillennial?
Yes.
And yeah. So, they wouldn't be here, folks, if they weren't. Okay. Again, not just on the stage, just not here. Okay. And so, is there another question that anyone? Yes, sir, brother.
I'll kind of give you the answer before. In light of Isaiah 8:11, Romans 12:1-2, 2 Corinthians 6:17-18, and James 4:4, and there's many more, What do you believe about personal separation, i.e. dress and music? And there's a follow-up question, too. What or who should we take our cues from?
All right, Brother Jesse, you want to field that?
If I could answer the second part of the question first, I believe in the sole authority of the Scriptures. Amen. As our as how we practice our faith and practice. As far as the other part, personal separation from the world, I believe it's I believe it's pretty clear that we are as Christians, we are a peculiar people, we're a set apart people, we are God's people, and by those standards, we ought to be different. We ought to be separated from the world. It ought to be, the Bible says, touch not the unclean thing. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, thus saith the Lord.
Amen. And so, Brother David, I again, for our people's sake, and for more of a missionary role, where you may not dress exactly like we do here in the States, but we'll dress up. Would you like to answer kind of a separation?
Absolutely. The Bible iterates so many times, both in the Old and the New Testament, and I'm reminded of the passage of Scripture that be holy, even as I am holy. And the separation from the world is a separation to Christ.
Amen.
And so it's not simply being different for different sake, but that difference is when people look at our lives, they see Christ. And that's the purpose of the separation, is for people to see Jesus in us.
Amen. And for time's sake, we'll take one more question. Who'd like to be the last question tonight? Anybody? Okay.
This one is short and easy for both of you. Number one, do you know what a pre-tribulationist is?
Yes.
Yes.
And what is it?
Me. A pre-tribulationist is someone who would believe in the rapture that takes place before
go.
The tribulation.
That's what I wanted. Thank you.
And again, for all those, the ones that wanted to ask it, I'll ask the question that all the men back here again, and I know that if you're charactered men, but again, you know, I saw on the paper what you believe, but if you were to ever change the doctrines that you believe that the Landmark Baptist Church and the Word of God stand upon, would you please mail us back your ordination certificate?
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. You all heard it. All right. Now, we'd like for you men to take your seat back down here with your wives. And we'll ask the ordination council to stay where they are. If you would take your Bibles out, we have the pleasure tonight to have our charge brought by Dr. Glenn Riggs, and he will come and give these men their charge tonight.
Thank you, Brother Parsons. I always enjoy watching this when young men are going through these ordination questions. And I know the anxiety that comes with that, but that's good. That's the difference between a racehorse and a cow. And you guys did great. Thank you, Brother Parsons, for inviting me to be a part of this. Jesse, we have known him since he was born. And we're so proud of him and so proud of this, be a part of this. And Brother David, we're excited for you and excited what God has for both of you. Let me jump right into this. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. Look at what it says. It says, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." These two sentences gives Matthew's personal account of his decision to follow Christ. He could have said a lot more. He could have talked about the very lucrative job that he had that would have made him very rich. He could have talked about the big house that he owned that he would later give a feast for. He could have talked about all of these things, and yet he simply says in his personal account, there was a feast. Jesus saw a man, said, "Follow me," and that man followed him. You know, the call to Christ is a wonderful, wonderful moment, that call to serve him. And it's not something to be taken lightly. To be called of God is a very special calling. And I just want to share with you very quickly three thoughts about the call of God. And the first one is this, that the call of God is an identity. It's a call to identity with a person. It's all about Christ. You know, forevermore, your identity is going to change. From now on, you're going to be a man of God. You're going to be a pastor, a missionary, a preacher man. No matter where you go or what you do, your identity is going to be connected forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 24, it says, "Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide in Christ." And that word abide means simply that you are to stay. It's not a visit. It's a permanent dwelling. It means to permanently reside. It means that you are everything that you do, every philosophy, every action, every activity, all of that is always going to be in the light of the light and the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a call to identify with a person. There are many, many things that we get involved in that demand our time. There are many things that are important as a preacher. But nothing can rival the time that we spend with the Lord Jesus. And I can say to you as an older preacher that we have to be very careful, because we can get so involved with the program that we forget the person. And it is a call to identify with a person. The second thing is I would point out is that it's also a call to be inspired by a plan. The gospel is God's plan to reach the world. And it is His purpose that everything that we do, to recognize that people can be changed. They can be born again from the inside out. And for us to understand that, He says that we're to look beyond what we see and then look to what people can become with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we're here to do. That must be first and foremost. There are many, many things that you'll be called to preach and teach and doctrines that you have, but we must always first and foremost head to the cross, because it is the gospel that will change the world. And we are inspired by that plan, that we believe that if we can just get the gospel to people, they can become something that could have never happened before. Mark chapter 1 verse 17 says, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And so as preachers of the gospel, we must believe that people can be changed. They can become. No matter what they once were. Maybe there was a drunken, filthy, vile-mouthed sailor. But he can become John Newton, the mighty preacher that can write such a song as Amazing Grace. It might be some immoral beer salesman, but he can become George Whitfield, the mighty voice of God. It may be some uneducated shoe salesman, but he can become Dwight L. Moody and lift two continents closer to God. It can be a little gypsy group sitting in a little tent with a motherless children, six little motherless children. And yet God can look into that tent and they can make them to become mighty preachers for the Word of God. I'm saying to you that the call of God, we are identified with a person and we're inspired by a plan that we can make a difference, that the gospel in any continent, in any people, no matter where they are, it can change people, it can bring people, make them what God would have them to be. We must believe and be inspired by that plan. Then thirdly, it's involved in a local church. The call of God is to be involved in a program, and it's called the local church. And I like one of the questions that was asked about the importance of the church. And we're living in a day and time when people are bypassing the church. They have all these ministries that's out there, and they're omitting the importance of the church. God has ordained that through His church, that's the agency for the salvation of the world. It is the one that is the pillar. It is the guardian of the truth. And His plan is for every member of the family of God to faithfully connect to and be involved in that church. And while there are many important demands, we need to be always committed to the local church. Be a part of that church no matter what. We're to love it, support it, defend it, be protected, be involved in it, do everything that we possibly can. Paul said, make full proof of your ministry. Do everything you can. Do everything you can, wherever you can, for as long as you can. Make full proof of your ministry. And one day as you look back on this and remember this time of ordination, you want to look back over that and over those years, as God allows it, if he does not take us home soon, you want to be able to look back and see all of those opportunities that God gave you. Take advantage of every chance that you can to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do all you can, everywhere you can, for as long as you can. And may we all be able to say with the Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight and I have finished my course and I've kept the faith. That's what this is all about. Thank you again for letting me come and just bring this moment of charge. I want you to know that we're proud of you, praying for both of you. We thank God for this college. Thank God for this opportunity to come and sharpen our swords for him. And we'll be praying for both of you. God bless you, my brother.
At this time, we're going to ask our ordination council to come down and take a line up over here. We're going to ask the church. What we want you folks to do is to go into an attitude of prayer. Pray for these folks. And then you candidates and your wives, if you'll take a seat in these chairs, pull them out so the men can get behind you and lay their hands on you and pray. Can I get one of you college men to come get these chairs? Thank you, Brother David. We're all going to go down here, yes, sir, on the floor. And we'll let Pastor Carter, if you'll go down, and then you guys go ahead and take your place in the seats there. And church, we'll ask you to go into an attitude of prayer. And then each man, after you have prayed for both of our candidates, if you would make your way over to the ordination certificates and sign both the Bibles and the ordination certificates, if you would.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Dear God, we thank you for these two, and we just thank you for the time that we've been able to spend with them. We thank you for the men of God that they are and their wives. God, we pray that, again, that you just bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we have some things to present to these folks, and we're going to ask Pastor to go ahead and close our time with prayer and ask the blessing on the fellowship to follow, but then we want for the church to hear what is on their ordination certificate, and then we'll do some presentations of their Bibles and the ladies with flowers. Preacher, would you please close us in prayer?
Let's bow our heads. Church, let's recognize that we have a ceremony tonight that's been carried on from Bible days on. Men, women answering the call of God, going out in His service and sent out by the church. So we thank you. We can still practice the Bible way on this. We thank you for the men that showed up tonight, and thank you for the church praying for these folks. Thank you for their service where they've proven themselves. Now, Lord, we ask your blessing on them. May you give them souls for their hire as they go out and serve you. May you protect them and use them. And Father, may we represent that this is the greatest calling on this planet, on earth, the call to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So we ask that you would supply every need, bless their families, protect them, but use them, Father. Thank you again for all that this represents tonight in your local church. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. At this time, Brother James Vercellus is going to read what is on the certificates of each man.
We have here a certificate of ordination. We, the undersigned, upon the recommendation and request of the Landmark Baptist Church of Hand City, Florida, which had full and sufficient opportunity for judging the God-given gifts, and after satisfactory examination by us in regard to the Christian experience, call to the ministry, and the views of Bible doctrine, hereby certify that Caleb David Michael and Jesse Michael Maxwell was solemnly and publicly set apart and ordained to the work of the gospel ministry by authority of the Landmark Baptist Church at 2020 East Henson Avenue, Haines City, Florida, on the 5th day of May, 2021.
Amen. Thank you. If we'd have our ordained men and their wives to stand now. Brother Glenn, if you would come and take these flowers and present these to our ladies, and Pastor Carter, if you would take the Bibles and present them to our men. Amen. Amen. Church, if you'd stand with me. And again, if you'd honor these men with a round of applause. Amen. All right, what we'd like for you to do is not come and fellowship with them here. We have a cake and a punch fellowship afterwards, and they were going to give me that ordination certificate back so that I can put it in a frame and protect it for them. And they will go over and meet you in the fellowship hall. You don't have to go out to the front doors. You can just make your way through the side door. The cake will be right there, and the punch is at the end. And we'd love for you to stay and congratulate these folks. Amen. Thank you so much. You're dismissed tonight.